You guys look refreshed, like you had an hour extra sleep. Any truth to that? Yeah, yeah. How many of you almost forgot to fall back? No, well, you did. Right. You're here, right? You didn't almost forget. So welcome. Welcome to Vine Church. We're so glad you're here. And if you're a first-time guest with us, we want you to know you're most welcome here at Vine Church. Hope you already feel the presence of God in the house. Amen? Yes. Praise and worship was just amazing. Before I actually get into the message today, let me share a couple of things with you real quick. I think the men's night went really well on Friday. Any of you guys were there? Raise your hand. It was good. It was awesome. Thank you, Pastor Mike and your team. Put it together. We did a lot of cool guy things. I got to practice on my hatchet throw, and I couldn't get one to stick. But I did dent the target. I just didn't make it stick. So it's all good. Shotguns, all kind of cool stuff. So we had a good time. A lot of good fruit's going to come out of that. So God's doing a lot in the men of our church. Also, I want to thank the ladies of our church. I want to give a shout out. Even last night at setup, I think there were five women that did extra things. That just, ladies, you're amazing. We just want to give you a hand this morning. Can we clap for the amazing ladies in this church? Thank you so much. Guys, this is part four, the last one I'm going to do in this series. We bring this series up occasionally because there's so many people in the Hall of Fame of Faith. This is called Running with the Giants. And for those that are new today, let me share a little bit about what this series has been about, and then we'll jump into it. But there's a famous author, famous guru of leadership, actually, John Maxwell, wrote a book years ago called Running with the Giants, and he had an inspired thought. His thought was this: in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, there's all these men and women of faith, which was sometimes called the Hall of Fame of Faith. And if you look at the names in that group of people in chapter 11, some of the names look obvious, you know, that they would be there. And other, some of the names are there, you wonder, wow, how did they make it into the Hall of Fame of Faith? So, but it, you know, speaking of a sporting event, if you have to go to a sporting event and you're a player on the field or on the court, you know, the crowd's cheering, you know, it can motivate you if it's a home crowd anyway, but you really don't know what they're saying. It's just a roar, right? But if you could get somebody to come out of the stands and run the race with you, then they could talk to you and give you counsel, give you advice, some things they learned from their life race. And that's what this series has been about, where we take people from the Hall of Fame of Faith, and we through the scriptures, we call them out of the crowd of witnesses and get them to run a lap with us and give us some advice to help us run our race. So you with me? With me? Amen? Amen. All right, so let's see what we're gonna share today about a lady named Rahab. Let's read our theme scripture, Hebrews 12:1. The Bible says this, and when it says therefore, that means you look at what came before it. That was chapter 11 of Hebrews with the Hall of Fame of Faith. So then it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So guys, the metaphor here is your life is a race. And there's a great cloud of witnesses up in heaven. Some of these are the Hall of Fame of Faith people, and some of them are your friends and family that have gone on to be with the Lord. And they're up there cheering you on, just like you were running a marathon or the 5-mile race or whatever. I don't believe the Christian life is a sprint. I believe it is a marathon. You want to begin well, and you want to finish well, and that's what this series is all about, to help us do that. So what would these people say to us? Well, What would the lady named Rahab in the Bible say to us? If you know your Bible, you know Rahab was in the Hall of Fame of Faith. You also know she had a very interesting line of work. The oldest profession, as they say, she was a prostitute. She was a prostitute. So you say, well, wow. Say, wow. All right. And she winds up being one of the great-great-great-great-grandmothers of Jesus. Say, wow, wow. I mean, this is phenomenal what God Almighty can do with our life if we will let Him do it. Amen? And you're going to see, let me tell you something about Jesus. Jesus is in Genesis, He's in Exodus, He's in Leviticus, He's in Deuteronomy, He's all throughout the Old Testament, all obviously into the New Testament. You see Jesus inwoven through it. You're going to see it here in this story of this prostitute that gets right with God and actually winds up being one of the great-great-grandmothers of Jesus. It's just amazing what God can do. So the question you would ask and I would ask as we we're beginning to study this, is so how does one go from a prostitute to the Hall of Fame of Faith, to the great-grandmother of Jesus? And what in the world will this lady say to us if we pulled her out of the stands of heaven and let her run a lap with us? What would she say to us? I believe she would say this. She would say, "Church, my life did not start off very well. In fact, my life was very dark and very disappointing. But," this is in your notes there, "so when you're feeling disappointed with your life, let God rewrite your story. When you're feeling disappointed with your life, it's not turning out like you thought it would, let God rewrite," say rewrite, "rewrite your story." So today we dedicate this message to those who would say, "I'm not liking my story so far, Pastor. This can't possibly be what God had in mind." Now remember, I've told you this before in Psalm 139, and you can look it up for yourself. It speaks of the fact that God has written a story about your life. Well, He has scripted what your life is supposed to look like. The problem is we've added a few chapters ourselves. Can I get an amen in the house of God today? We've added some chapters that we're not supposed to be in our life. That's just part of being a sinner that needs to be saved by grace and then become the person that God's called you to become. But I want to say this. So people might may ask the question, did God write my crazy dysfunctional story? No. He's written a beautiful life story for us. So remember that as we go through this message. And then let me say this too, guys. Don't be discouraged about the past chapters that you've written. God can rewrite your story. There's nothing too hard for our good God. Rahab didn't start out very well. Guys, you know, I wonder what led this woman to be a prostitute. When I was like 20 years old, I was carpooling up to LBW in Andalusia to go to college, and there were several of us in this little carpool, and one day there were several people that were out, and it was just me and this lady that were carpooling up there, and I'm one of those people that people love to just tell me stuff. You know, I guess it's the pastor gift, but this woman had no reason to tell me this, but she started telling me her story that she had been a prostitute. And, you know, I just said, "Well, if you don't mind me asking, why?" And she said, in her mind, she said, "I had to do it to feed my child." And she didn't know the Lord. She didn't, you know, she was just a lost person, and she was trying to feed her child. So maybe Rahab was like that. You know, this is a very male-dominated society during this time in the Bible, and women had just no say in much of anything. And so maybe Rahab felt like she was forced into prostitution. But I can tell you this, she didn't enjoy the guilt and the shame of her life story. Amen? So what would she say to us today? She would say what I just said there, that first blank in your notes there. Let God rewrite your story. Let Him write your story. Give God the pen, church, and let Him write your story. Hebrews 12:2 says this, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. In other words, give Him the pen. Give Him the pen so He can write the story. Give Him permission so He can write your story. But guys, listen, there has to be a moment in your life where you say, I've got to find out a way to get the pen out of my hand into God's hand. And that's what this message is really all about. Here are some keys from Rahab's story to help us do that. In your notes there, the first thing is this. God searches for you to be in His story. God searches for you to be in His story. So God initiates. Say initiates. Say it with passion. Initiates. God initiates the fact He wants you in His story. He's taken the first step. That's when the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, what happened? Christ died for us. While we didn't even, weren't even on the planet, or we were on the planet at the time, we weren't thinking about God, but God was thinking about us. I remember my story of how God was searching for me. See, I grew up in church. I was in church before I was born, right? My mama took me to church while I'm in the womb. So I grew up in church, which in ways is very positive. In other ways, it can be very deceptive. Because I found myself thinking I was a Christian. At 12 years old, I went down the aisle, shook the preacher's hand, and said, I wanted to rededicate my life. You can't rededicate what you haven't given. So to make a long story short, I got mama saved. I didn't get Jesus saved. So she wanted me to be baptized. I didn't want to be baptized. I thought it was embarrassing. So I got Mama saved and not Jesus saved. So then when I was 17, I was listening to a revival in Florella, Alabama, my hometown, and this pastor, an evangelist named Clyde Childs. Clyde Childs had been won to the Lord through Billy Graham. So this man became an evangelist and led me to Christ. So at 17, I'm there, and God is looking for me to be in his story. Because, see, I think I'm in his story, but I'm not in his story. Does that make sense? So the Holy Spirit just whispers to me during the invitation time. He says, "I don't know you." I said, "Well, you must not know. You must not know what I do. I sing in the choir." That's funny, right? I try to sing in the choir, you know. I go all the youth functions. Every time the church doors are open, I'm there. And the Holy Spirit, you know, he doesn't waver. He just says, "I don't know you. I don't know you." So nobody had to lead me in the prayer, man. I grew up in a Baptist church. I knew how to pray the prayer of salvation, right? So I just prayed the prayer right there. "Lord, save me. I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. Forgive me. Be my Lord and Savior." And immediately he did it, and I felt that weight fall off my shoulders. But see, God had to chase me down in the church. You know, we think of God chasing some prostitute down to save them, and he will. But sometimes he has to save people in the church who think they're born again. Some of you may can relate to that. So right in the middle of your darkness, God will come searching for you to be in his story. And that's what happened to Rahab. Let me give you some backstory so we can put this all together, the pieces of the puzzle here. So the backstory is this. She was a prostitute, and she lived in the wall. These were huge walls around the city. And the first city they needed the children of Israel needed to take was Jericho. So she lived in a little room in the wall of the city of Jericho. Now, Moses had died, and Joshua was in charge. And Joshua had been commissioned by the Lord to go and take the promised land for the children of Israel. But to do that, she had to take the city of Jericho first. So they sent the two spies out to size it up, to see what's it going to take to win and defeat the enemy. So he sends them in, spying out the land. So let's read Joshua 2:1. "Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies, 'Go look over the land,' he said, 'especially Jericho.' So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there." Now, church, Rahab wasn't searching for them. They were searching for her. God was searching for this prostitute living in the wall of this city. Why did they end up in her house? The providence of God. The goodness of God. That's why there was no chance. It wasn't by chance that they just happened to pick her little room, her little house. Whether they knew who she was or not, I don't know. The Bible doesn't really say that. But I know that those men were on a mission from God to put this woman in the story. Amen? Amen. So, and I want to say this about God. God's been coming after some of you guys. He's been running after you for a while, and he's saying, "Isn't it time you give me the pen to let me write your story? I'm ready to rewrite your story." In fact, the Bible says in the book of Revelation that Jesus stands at the door of your heart and knocks, and he's saying, "How about today? How about today will you come and open that door?" He won't push it in. You have to open it and invite him in. "How about this Sunday will you let me in?" Listen, let me say this to you, church. He will search for you to the ends of the earth. But the Bible does say that in a warning tone, it says God's Spirit will not always strive with man. Listen, when you're having God moments, when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and ministering to you, you need to take advantage of it. You need to grab it. Right then, don't put it off. Don't put it off. So the spies searched out for Rahab because God searches for you to be in his story. The second thing I want you to see that we can learn from her story is this. God always makes a way for us to be in his story. God always makes a way for us to be in his story. There has to be a way for God to rewrite her very dark story. And I'm going to show you what it is. So the spies asked her. This was Joshua and Caleb said, "Don't tell anybody why we're here. Don't tell anybody why we're here. Keep it quiet. Keep it under wraps. You know, we're here to destroy the city. we're going to take this city, but don't tell anybody. Just keep it under wraps." So she's saying, "Hey, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I don't want to be destroyed with all the people of the city of Jericho. So they said, we will spare you, but you must swear an oath. And let's read that now in Joshua 2, 17 through 21. Now the men had said to her, this oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless, when we enter the land, you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear. Agreed? She replied, let it be as you say. So she sent them away and departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. I told you Jesus is in all the books of the Bible. He's in this book right here, Joshua. The scarlet cord, what is that representing? The blood of Jesus, right? It's representing the blood of Jesus. The only way to be saved, this is a metaphor in the Old Testament of what you and I have to do today to receive the gift of salvation. So, you know what happened if you read the rest of the story, but there's a big but in this, and the big but was this. I'm not going to have to live up to this oath if you go your own way. If you go your own way, I'm not going to save you. I can't save you. I cannot spare your life. You see the symbolism, guys? That's just like us today. If you go your own way, Jesus cannot save you. He will not force himself upon you. You must grab the scarlet thread of salvation through the blood of Jesus. So she did what God had laid out for her. She applied the way God gave her, the scarlet cord, as her only way out. Say only. It was the only way out. If that scarlet cord was not hanging from her window, she would die and her family would die. But because they saw the scarlet cord, just like when you stand before Almighty God and he sees the scarlet blood of Jesus on you, then he sees that you have been saved from your sin. Listen, let me say this too, church. If you don't like your life story, there's only one way out. And that's Jesus, right? Making Jesus your Lord and Savior, making Jesus the center of your life. Oh, Pastor, man, if I could just get me another degree from the university, if I could just get another spouse, or et cetera, my story will change. I doubt it. I doubt it. I know it won't change on Judgment Day. Only Jesus can rewrite your story. You know the famous verse in Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. God can rewrite your story. He can turn around a life story that you don't like and make it into something good. So Rahab was saved. Her family was saved. And she winds up being in the lineage of Jesus in the Hall of Fame of Faith. Amazing. Amazing. Here's the third thing we can learn from her story. In your notes there, God's story always has a redemptive ending. God's story always has a redemptive ending. I love that. I love that about our God. Getting saved is not the end of your story, church. It's the beginning of your story. The beginning of your journey. God has so much more for you than just salvation. That's why you step into the kingdom is through salvation. Now you're left here for a purpose, right? Otherwise, when you got saved, God would just take you out right then, right? There's no need for you to be here just taking up space. No, he's got some reason for you to be on the planet. The original story he wrote is spoken of in Psalm 139. Who knew Rahab would become Jesus' great-great-grandmother? Who knew that? No, nobody at that time except God. And listen, speaking of Rahab, we see her mentioned in the book of Matthew, right? She's in the New Testament too. So let me set this up for you. If you read Matthew, you know there's a lot of begots and begats, right? So-and-so begat so-and-so, so-and-so begat so-and-so. There's 42 grandfathers of Jesus in that genealogy in the book of Matthew. But in that big list of men, Matthew, the tax collector, through the power of the Holy Spirit, inserts four grandmothers in the book of Matthew. Four women. In the midst of all those patriarchs in lineage of Christ, let's look in Matthew 1, see what it says. It says, Judah, the father of Perez, and Zerah, the mother of Tamar. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obadiah, whose mother was Ruth. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Who would that be? Bathsheba, right? Bathsheba. So why did Matthew insert those four names in that genealogy? Well, let me tell you, church, he wanted you to know about Tamar, that God can forgive the darkest sin. I don't know if you know about what she did, but she deceived her father and pretended to be a prostitute, and it gets him to sleep with her, and it's just all kind of just dark, dark stuff that's in the scripture there. But God will forgive the darkest sin. Rahab's story, the story we're talking about today, being a prostitute, God will use you regardless of your past. Can I get an amen? Ruth's story, that God will not leave you out. Ruth wasn't even Jewish. And the Bible in the Old Testament is all about the Jewish people, right? But God let her in because of her faith, because of her heart for God. And Bathsheba, that God will heal any situation. He can turn your story around. Can we give Jesus 5 seconds of praise this morning? Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Listen, next time you think your story is dark, remember these four great-grandmothers of Jesus. God wanted you to know why they were in the Bible. I know you're like me. You've read that many times when you're reading your daily Bible reading and stuff. And why were those particular people in there? Well, now you know. So before Rahab would go back up into the stands, she would say this to us. She would say, let God write your story. And this is number one on your notes there, her words of encouragement. God invites you to be a part of his story. Join him. God invites you to be a part of his story. Join him. Say yes to him. Stop resisting God. And some of you here today, you're doing that. Stop pushing back on God. He wants you to be in his story. He wants to rewrite your story. Join him. Join him today. Go all in with Jesus. And say, Lord, write my story. In my past, where I wrote some bad chapters, rewrite those chapters. And this is going to happen. John 8:12 in your Bible there, in your notes. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I can bring light to your story, Jesus is saying there. Luke 9 says this. Then he said to them, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for me will save it. In other words, what's deny here mean? It means give God the pen. Deny yourself to write these bad chapters. Give God the pen out of your hand. And also, on your salvation day, you surrender your life to a story, your life story, to a better author than yourself. Amen? God can write an amazing story. What's it mean to say lose it, lose your life? It's like jumping out of a good plane, right, with a parachute. You feel out of control, but I'm telling you, God is getting things arranged so you can follow him and love him and serve him and have a great life. So give your life to God. He can do more with it than you can. Amen, church? That's for somebody today. Number two, Rahab would say this in the notes there. God wants to surprise you with his love. Accept him. God wants to surprise you with his love. Accept him. I'm sure Rahab was surprised that she wound up in the Hall of Fame of Faith. I'm sure she was as surprised as anybody. The city prostitute chosen to be in his story. And of course, God did that on purpose, didn't he, church? He's always a purposeful God. He always does things out of the box. Do you think the church, the average church today, would welcome Rahab into their body? It's a great question, isn't it? It's a great question. So we've got to look at people like Rahab with the eyes of Jesus. And the eyes of Jesus says, that's not who you are. You may have written some bad chapters, but God has the power through the Holy Spirit to rewrite your story if you let him, right? The scarlet thread, the scarlet cord of redemption. God picks some of the darkest people with the darkest stories and uses them. We see that in the Bible, right? What about Moses? Moses was a stutterer and a murderer. And yet God used him in an amazing way. What about King David? He wound up being a murderer. We just talked about Bathsheba, right? So Uriah, her husband, he had him killed, put him on the front lines. and had committed adultery with her. God still used him. Two-thirds of the New Testament is written by a man named Paul who killed Christians thinking he was doing God a favor. So God's in the business of taking dark stories and making them amazing stories. Amen. I love it. I love it. How does God do this? Why does he do it? Because there's no place you can go that the love of God can't reach. Let me say that again. I don't think y'all got that. Because there is no place you can go that the love of God can't reach. Amen? Pastor, does God really understand me and my story? I know people ask stuff like that. You know, my story, I'm speaking hypothetically here of some people that may be here today. You might say, my story is, it's kind of crazy, Pastor. It's kind of crazy. It's got some real bad twists and turns, and I just wonder if God really understands me. Well, look at what Hebrews says, Hebrews 4. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weaknesses and testing, experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. I mean, that's a good scripture, right? Don't try to earn it, church. Just receive it. Just boldly walk up to Jesus because of the blood of Jesus that's forgiven you. Or if you're lost, walk up there anyway because he's going to embrace you and forgive you. And get what he's got, what he wants to give you. The third thing Rahab would say before she runs back up in the stands is number three. She would say, God wants to love others with your actions. Serve him. God wants to love others with your actions. Serve him. Once he fixes your story, he wants to use your story to touch other people. Many times they've gone through the same things you have because you have been there and you have seen the power of God. Guys, let me destroy a common myth that goes through the church at times, and that's this, that God can't use me until I get my story exactly right. Until I get my act totally together, God can't use me. That's a lie from hell with smoke on it. Right? God uses imperfect people all the time. And we're a work in progress, right? We're going to always be a work in progress. We're never going to attain until we get to see Jesus face to face. So let's just dispel that lie right now. You say, well, Pastor, I was going to teach that small group, but I'm just not quite, you know. And I mean, there may be some times that you need to step back and get some counsel and get some stuff off of you. I understand that. But I'm saying just day in and day out, don't look for perfection except in Jesus. Amen, everybody. Jesus is our perfect Savior. So let's just stop those lies, stop the enemy trying to get you out of your destiny. 1 John 3 says this. This is how we know that what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with the actions and in truth. How do we love others at Vine Church? How can you do that here? Well, one of the ways you can do that here is through the dream team, right? You can get on the dream team and make a difference. You're making, and guys, that's what I want you to realize. I think some of us need to get refocused on that. When you know you're making a difference, being a part of a mobile church is not work. Can I get an amen? When you know your life is making a difference and you're going to have Jesus show you this stuff in heaven one day at the judgment seat of Christ of the things that you did, if you're part of this church, it's not work. Now, we need to balance it out. We need we're working on getting some teams and you don't have to be here every week to do this stuff that a mobile church has to do. But I just want you to realize that you're making a difference. Let that minister to you. And when you do that, when you make a difference, that's when your story starts to change. Just ask a dream teamer. Ask a dream teamer and they'll tell you. Dr. Martin Luther King said this, very famous quote. He said, everyone can be great because anyone can serve. Right? Anyone can serve. So number three, once again, God wants you to love others with your actions. Serve him. Number four, and as we close, God signs his name to your story because he's the author, right? He's the author, so he's going to sign his name to your story. Thank him. Thank him. Be grateful for it. First Timothy 1, let's read that. This is Paul talking here. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. This is Paul talking about himself. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. All honor and glory to God forever and ever. He is the eternal King, the unseen one who never dies. He alone is God. So guys, live your life with a God story. Let God write your story. What does God want in return? Just this. All glory and honor. He deserves it, doesn't he? Amen. So join him, my friends. Accept him. Serve him. And thank him. And I'll close with this statement. So if God can rewrite a dark story like Rahab, think of the possibilities of what he can do for you. Amen, everybody. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's give the Holy Spirit just a moment to minister to us. Father God, I thank you that here today there are people that are saying, Lord, I need you to rewrite some chapters in my life. There's some chapters I wrote that are simply, they're dark, Lord. They're not part of my original story. That's obvious because I know you're a good God and you're a perfect author. You write a perfect script. But I want you to know, church, that God can rewrite your story. So I want to break that down in two areas for you. If you're here today without Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have not embraced the gospel message of that Jesus Christ was sent to the earth over 2,000 years ago to be born of a virgin, to live a perfect, sinless life. He was tempted like us, but yet without sin, to be crucified on a cross, to be put in a cave, a tomb. 3 days later, the power of God rose him from the dead, defeating death, hell, and the grave, so that you and I could have eternal life. Jesus Christ paid for every sin that had ever been committed or would be committed on that day 2,000 plus years ago. That's the good news. That's the gospel. So you've got to embrace that. It's not just have a head knowledge of it. You've got to embrace it by going, yes, Jesus, you died in my place. Thank you. I receive that salvation, that free gift. I don't have to earn it. I don't have to be good enough for it. Thank you, Lord. I just receive it by faith now. And we'll lead you in a sinner's prayer in just a few minutes if you want to do that. The other group I'm talking to here are people that are believers. Your salvation story was genuine, that you did receive Christ. There's no doubt about that. But you're not where you need to be. You've been writing some chapters in your story that shouldn't be there. They're dark chapters. They're sin. Sin never works. It never works. Sin is missing the mark. It's always a high cost for sin. Going your own way in certain things, writing those chapters. But you're here today and you say, Pastor, it's time to come home. It's time to give God the pen back and let him rewrite the past. How does he do that? Because he forgives you. He forgives all that past. He doesn't even remember it anymore. And then he takes from this day forward with that pen and gets you back in the right chapter in his book, writing your story, and you're following him on a daily basis. Man, you talk about good news. Those two things are good news. Those who don't know Christ, you can come and grab that scarlet thread of redemption today so you and your family can be saved. Some of you who are backslidden today, you can rededicate your life back to the Lord. Here's how we do it here as we're continuing to pray. With nobody looking around, I'm going to look. Some of the team on the stage is going to look because we want to see what God's doing. But other than that, nobody's looking around. In a moment, I'll count to three. When I count to three, if you want to receive Jesus and grab that scarlet thread, then you'll lift your hand up, hold it about 5 seconds. Hold it up high so we can see it. And then the other people, if you're here and you say, Pastor, I need to rededicate my life, give God the pen back. You lift your hand up high, hold it up about 5 seconds. We'll all do this together. And then we'll pray a prayer that'll get you in the kingdom and restored back to God. So let's do business with God right now as we just move in the Holy Spirit. I want to count to three. You just be obedient. One, two, three. Hold your hands up just a minute. Let me see them. Anybody else? I see several hands. Anybody else? Okay, you can put them down. Guys, we're going to help you out. If you raise your hand, mean the prayer, and I promise you, God we'll meet you at your point of need. Everybody praying out loud, pray this with me. Father God, in Jesus' name, I admit I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. His name is Jesus. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Lord Jesus, I believe you lived a perfect life. You died on the cross and they buried you. You rose from the dead 3 days later just for me. Lord, thank you for saving me. Lord, thank you for restoring me back to you on this great day. And all God's people said, amen. You guys give God some praise this morning.